And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, how are we doing? Joe? What's
doing going on? Okay. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful.
Great.
Porth, how are we doing?
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Wow.
Phenomenal on this hump day.
Yeah.
If I'm going off Twitter, which I do for most of my life, a lot of people are going to be hungover today. That's my take from yesterday. A lot of people are going to be hungover today.
Did you get some sleep last night?
I did. I went to bed early.
Me too.
Good luck, world. Figure it out. Good night.
I realized pretty early last night that like nothing was going to happen. So I was like, all right, I'm going to sleep. And then my dog walked over the top of my forehead at about 11:30 p.m. And I was like, hey, not going to be having any of this.
That'll be enough of that.
Yeah.
20 years ago, I did have flashbacks being in a newsroom to the 2000 election. Man, that went late. That went really late.
What is this thing
election
I hear?
Election nights are late, but that was crazy.
What is this thing I hear about, like, election night pizza in journalistic rooms?
Yeah, so that's the – because, you know, on election nights, and, of course, it's not always – not just presidential election, but any, you know, election night, the newsroom will get pizza for everybody. Everybody's – staying late, so they that's a tradition. But of course, then what you have is all the sports people saying, "Oh, really? Because we do this every night. Oh,
let's get
you
some
get your
pizza.
Little pizza." So that's, I mean, it's. I don't even engage in that stuff. I mean, I got a lot of friends, you know, in sports and news, but they always. I know some of my friends who just have to make a snide comment every day. It's like, come on, just let them have their pizza, man, you know. But yeah, that's basically what it's about.
You got to share the pizza love every now and then.
That election with, of course, the hanging chads, and I know I'm going back on you guys a little bit.
But I was alive.
Yeah, there was the New York Post always has incredible. I think it was the New York Post. The headline, because Florida was undecided, it took forever, right?
Yeah,
and that was one of the best headlines I've ever seen. Flora dash duh DUH. I was like, man, how did you do that? That's amazing.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Good times. That elections, was, good times.
Yeah, fun times. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Some big news yesterday for the Tennessee Titans, and maybe some unexpected news on at least one front. Titans released Vic Beasley, Bo Brinkley, and Jonathan Joseph yesterday afternoon. A big news dump around 3 o'clock yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. I was very surprised by the Bo Brinkley aspect of this. Not as much about Vic Beasley and Jonathan Joseph. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. And I believe the power of our listeners here on 102.5 The Game. We had the poll question up yesterday. Who would you rather see voted off of the Titans Island, Jonathan Joseph or Vic Beasley? And it was close. Last time I checked, Jonathan Joseph had like 55% of the vote. And the Titans said, you know what? We're going to do y'all a favor. We're going to get rid of both of them. And that's what they did yesterday.
Well, yeah, if you rank them by surprises, see, I am surprised by Beasley now. I mean, it was trending that way. But I'm surprised because the difference between those two, again, is that you just picked up Desmond King. You have Adoree Jackson coming back at some point. You have Christian Fulton. Like, you have alternatives to where you don't have to worry about him, and you would not need him, even in a pinch. I mean, Vic Beasley? I mean, hey, I get it. But also, what's the alternative? What are you doing now? I mean, there was no corresponding move. And, yeah, I agree. The Bo Brinkley thing, you guys helped me out on this because, again, we'll go to Twitter for some fighting about Bo Brinkley. I'm hearing from people that he just had bouncing snaps all over the field all year, and I'm like, really? I missed that.
He's had like two, hasn't he?
The last two games, he's clearly had a couple bad snaps, and you know, one got Kern hurt. But has it been that bad? Have I missed this?
The Denver game, there was one. One Gostkowski miss was because of a bad snap.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
For sure?
I would,
the,
yes.
I remember the snap was not perfect.
Right. He still got the kickoff.
The hold was fine still, I thought, unless I'm remembering wrong. And that's certainly possible from just 2 months ago. But, yeah. Okay. So, and that's the thing. You do. You have to be perfect. You have to be perfect in that job.
Is it reason enough to get hurt or to get cut when you hurt the team's best player, Rhett Kern?
Well, the funny thing is that's it's his best friend too.
Yeah,
you know, so
double whammy.
Yeah,
I feel bad.
Well, I'll tell you what. Brinkley. For many years, you know, that was like the three musketeers in that locker room was Suckup, Brinkley, Kern, and Brinkley, see ya. I think the Titans, I'm sure right now, are like, hey, Ryan, sorry. Sorry, buddy.
He's kicking the ball pretty well down there in Tampa Bay.
He did have a shaky one the other night, but he snuck it in. So, yeah, he's doing better than the Titans' current kicker.
I want to hear the reaction yesterday by Floyd Reese. I've not yet heard this yet. Jared and the GM obviously on the air yesterday when all this news came out. Here was Floyd Reese's instant reaction to Vic Beasley being cut by the Titans.
This guy is a ghost. So, I mean, obviously there was something else going on. I mean, I don't know what it was, but that's kind of been the story of his year. There's something else going on that we don't know about. And so this is just more of the same in my mind. And I assume they finally got to a point where they were sick of it. Said, that's it.
So ghost for Vic Beasley there. Good. I like that. I mean, it's hard to argue that point.
The ghost and old guy 33.
Both gone. Same afternoon. I tweeted out last night. I said, good on Vic Beasley for getting paid insanely more than you and I to have the same amount of production. Really, it's a crafty move by him.
Well, if this is it and you've talked about it. I mean, Vic Beasley, I think, wants to start a church.
Yeah.
You know, and there was some question about whether he wanted to keep playing football and stuff. If this is it and he's going to go off in the sunset and build a church, hey, give him props. How many guys in this league get screwed over and don't get paid what they're owed and get cut and get a fraction of their contract? Vic Beasley.
Sticking it to the
tip
man.
Of the cap, buddy. Tip of the cap. You just fleeced a team for nine and a half and got out of Dodge.
Pretty incredible. And now you look at I guess, both the pass rush and the cornerback room defensively, because long snapper we'll talk about here in a minute. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. But defensively, Jonathan Joseph out the door now, Desmond King coming in. That signaled to me that they did it yesterday, that they probably feel pretty good about Adore Jackson playing this week, because otherwise, to me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to just pull the plug on Jonathan Joseph right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. Absolutely. Yeah, and maybe Desmond King can do all the Zoom stuff this week and come in and you're fine. And, you know how to play the position. Go play the slot. You know, here's our coverages. Here's our calls. That could happen. I don't know. I guess I feel like a lot of coaches like to still see it for their own eyes and practice a little bit before they sign off on that. But I think you're right. I think this is the last week of designation for return from IR for Adoree. So unless there's another setback we're not aware of, and today will be a very interesting day on the practice field again, I would think that he would be there. I keep saying that every week. It's a broken record.
Eventually, you're going to be right.
You would think, right? You would think so.
The odds are in your favor. And then you look at Vic Beasley. He's gone now. We'll talk about just how bad of a move that was for John Robinson, the Titans, coming up throughout the show. But in the short term, what do you do now if you're the Titans? No Vic Beasley there. And let's be honest, there's not much of a difference between Vic Beasley not being there and him being on the field. That's just how it went for Vic Beasley this year. But they were already thin there anyway. What do they do now at that position, in your opinion?
Wish they had Kamale Correa still.
How much are they regretting that right now?
But Derek Roberson is the quick answer. He will be the three. I can't imagine. Maybe one of the practice squad guys could be, could overtake him. But I would think it would be Roberson. Of course, you have Wyatt Ray. He has been with the Texans. He's a possibility. And then actually a name team guy. I don't really know anything about him, but Tuzar Skipper is a heck of a name.
First team all name.
It'd be pretty cool in Nashville if Tuzar Skipper all of a sudden comes out and gets 12 sacks this year.
I would buy a jersey.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what number he is. I'll have to look that up.
Doesn't matter.
So basically, you've got Roberson, you got two practice squad guys. I mean, I think that you've got, again, I think what we've talked about with the scour the earth for practice squad or call old guys who are retired or who are still trying, not necessarily retired, still looking to play. Is Cam Wake looking to play? Or is he like retired? Did he announce a retirement?
I have not seen an announced retirement from him. So whether that means he's looking to play or not, I don't know.
Call everybody.
Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews, right? which, again, I learned this week. He's only 34. I would have said about he's about 41. Okay, give him a call. I mean, that, you've got to try everything and anything. But you also, you are very much still tied to your other big investment that's not paying off. Which, by the way, you brought up Floyd. Jared, remember that Jared said, why would you sign Clowney? You got Vic Beasley. That's your sack guy. I'm not going to let you forget it, Jared. I'm not going to let you forget it. You've invested another big chunk in Clowney. This season is going to hinge largely still on whether he does anything.
What?
Which may not be very comfortable.
But
it's reality.
What would Clay Matthews cost?
At this point,
million,
like
2 million?
Yeah.
That's what I would guess.
Tops?
I mean, I guess unless you're him and it's like, look, man, I want to walk when I'm 50, so it's got to be a little. But, yeah, how could you justify more than that?
It's not like people are beating down the door to go sign Clay Matthews. So if you're him, you'd have to know that coming into this, that you're not going to get like $7 million. It wouldn't make any sense. And if you're the Titans, there's no way I'd do that. You're already doling out enough money to people that are not doing anything. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
See, I don't know, obviously, everything about the Cam Wake thing here, except that I thought he was great in the locker room. I mean, obviously, you know, there's two different things about that. It's like I think of it still, yeah, as a media person.
Right.
He was an MVP, okay? But I think he seemed to fit in really well. Everyone seemed to like him. Guy was in unbelievable shape. I mean, he's 38, but, you know, they signed him for what, 20 million over 3 years, I believe?
Yeah.
I mean, could you not say, if he's healthy, if he's healed up now, like, how about a mil, 2 mil? And again, maybe he's like, look, man, I'm not. Same thing, 38.
It could be.
And that may be the thing. So if that's the case, then guys like Cameron Wake and Clay Matthews should just retire because they're not going to get that kind of money.
But I'm trying to figure out, like, why does Clay Matthews not have a job? He had 8 sacks last year. 8.
3 year, $23 million. So almost $8 million a year they paid Wake.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the story there?
I don't know. I mean, he played in 13 games last year. He got 8 sacks. Talk about 8 sacks right now on this team. Even if you got 5, you'd be like, sure, man, come on in.
Vic Beasley had 8 sacks too, for the record. But yeah, how in this league with pass rushers are not in abundance. How could no one have wanted to or tried to sign? Maybe that's it. He's like, I'm not playing at this age unless the price is here.
He almost had a deal with Denver before the year started, and then for whatever reason that fell apart. And then I think like maybe 2 days later, Von Miller got hurt.
So
like,
why wouldn't the deal then be re-sparked right then?
I don't, know. I don't know. That's a great question. Maybe they saw something with him. I don't know. I don't know. But you would think 8 sacks last year, somebody would have called him at this point. Like,
yeah.
Hey, man, come on.
I'm sure. I can't imagine they haven't. But something's not connecting. And maybe that's it. It's really just like, look, I'm not coming out unless it's here.
Right.
But the Titans, I mean, at this point, this is the crew. It's Landry, it's Clowney, and it's, you know, undrafted guys who are, you're hoping, will rise up. And I'll still say right now, the first game we see Derek Roberson, which I assume will be Sunday against the Bears, you'll notice a difference.
From him to Beasley?
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I don't know if he'll make any plays, but, I mean, you'll see a difference.
The motor, at least, will be there. And I think it's fair to say the motor didn't look like it was there with Vic Beasley.
We've been criticizing Clowney and Beasley all year long, but is it fair to also expect more out of Harold Landry? I mean, he only has a 1.5 sacks this year, second-round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, he's looked great in flashes in his first few years, but also he kind of evaporates sometimes.
Well, I think with Landry, the thing where it's harder to do that for me is that he busts his butt and he plays every snap. So you see him out there, he makes plays and he's all over the field, but yeah, he's not a refined pass rusher. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he'll ever have a second move other than that outside bend rush that he does, which sometimes gets him home. But, you know, if you're that easy to figure out, that's what happens in this league. So yeah, I think it's also, I think he's going to be a good player, and I thought this year, Beasley and Clowney, and now Landry, he's going to have a little more space. But, you know, you can still largely handle him with a good offensive tackle. So And then the next question is, so John Robinson and pass rushers, something's disconnecting there on the evaluation of pass rushers.
And that's a great segue there, Joe. We're going to talk about John Robinson in the next segment. After releasing Vic Beasley and Jonathan Joseph, what do we make of John Robinson and the offseason that he had heading into an important year for this Titans team? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning. Reacting to the news of the day yesterday for the Tennessee Titans, they released Vic Beasley, Bo Brinkley, and Jonathan Joseph yesterday afternoon. Some big moves made yesterday by John Robinson. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in, so did the Titans not save any money on Beasley's contract with the release? I know he was terrible, but at least he was a warm body you were already paying instead of now having to pay someone else. So I'm just curious how that makes sense. Joe, the way I understand it, they're not saving any money by releasing
him. No, it's fully guaranteed deal. So it's a big, if you guys have seen, which Batman is that? Is that Batman, the one with the Joker, The Dark Knight?
Yes.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
Very good.
Porth, have you seen The Dark Knight?
I think so.
I think so, he said.
So the new Batman, Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy.
I think your co-host forced me to watch it once upon a time.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
And that didn't make you think like movies are cool?
Well, apparently not, because I don't know 100% whether or not I watched
that movie.
Well, that
means no, you didn't watch it.
But remember the scene?
I think Robbie forced me to watch it once upon a time.
Do you remember the scene where the Joker burns all the money in the warehouse? Just lights it?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
Great attempt by you, Joe. Appreciate you.
That's basically what happened with $9.5
million. Pours the gasoline on it.
I guess how much, some of it he didn't get because he didn't show up, which that wasn't a red flag at all. that he didn't show up at first and just didn't tell him why. But so whatever that was, to say $50K or something that he got fined. So the Titans didn't have to pay that. Other than that, warehouse of money, gasoline, match, light it on fire. Goodbye.
great allocation of funds there by the Titans. And to that point, let's talk about it. It has been a rough offseason for John Robinson. You look at the moves that the Titans made, whether it was via the draft, whether free agency so far, it just has not worked out for the most part. You can probably point to one or two guys that it's been okay with. But Jonathan Joseph, in his defense, was put in a position that I don't think anybody expected him to be in. So that is what it is. And it just turned out that he can't play anymore. That's what it is. It wasn't an effort problem. He just can't play anymore. You can live with that. Vic Beasley, like you said, I mean, there were red flags from the moment you got here. And quite frankly, there were red flags with Vic Beasley before they even made the decision to sign him. We've talked about the news coming out of Atlanta, people questioning whether or not he really wanted to play football anymore, people questioning his motor, his work ethic, all of these different things. It wasn't a secret heading into this season. And John Robinson makes the decision to sign him anyway, I think largely hoping that Vrabel could come in, do his magic, and Vic Beasley looks like 2016 Vic Beasley rather than 2019 Vic Beasley, and that didn't happen. So it has been a very rough summer/early fall for John Robinson and the signings that he's made. And some people yesterday give him credit for moving on from Vic Beasley and just kind of taking the L and biting the bullet when he did, which I can accept that's fine. But to me, you're the one that made the move to begin with. I don't give you a whole lot of credit for that.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, look, I do think there are GMs who are going to ride this out a little longer and say, 9.5 guaranteed, coach him better. Come on, coach him better. I know this guy can play. Let's go. And would stick with this longer. So I'll give him, I'll give John Robinson some credit for taking the L and saying, look, this is not working. He knows he's going to look bad in this. And he does it. But he does look bad in this. So that shouldn't over – the fact that he took the L shouldn't overshadow the L. It's a big L. And in terms of new acquisitions, this is easily his worst offseason. Now, when you judge the entire offseason, that also includes the Tannehill choice, which was right, and the deal for Tannehill, which was – I mean, pretty soon it'll look incredibly – frugal and terrific.
Okay? It may already look incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And also the tag of Henry that leads to, I think, a pretty club-friendly deal for a running back. Some people still say, don't pay the running back. Well, then you're not watching Derrick Henry at this point. So look, that's part of the offseason, and those are very good. But as far as new acquisitions, there's nothing close to this. He's had some other big free agent signings that maybe didn't set the world on fire like you hoped. But Logan Ryan was pretty good. Malcolm Butler's been pretty good. Deion Lewis was a bad one.
Yeah.
Deion Lewis, I mean, again, I keep going through Patriots, Patriots, Patriots. By the way, the Patriots signed Isaiah Mack, so they go the other way, too.
Titans north.
It's an interesting development. But, yeah, it's this is his worst offseason, and talk about timing. You're talking about coming off the AFC Championship game, and you've got a chance to just a couple things to put you over the top, and right now they've done the opposite. And we're still talking about a 5-2 team, but this is trending toward a defense that is just not going to keep you at the top of that AFC South long.
And the Vic Beasley thing, it's not like this is a new conversation. I remember when they signed him, you and I were on the air, and we just kind of looked at each other like, man, is this the guy you're going to try to answer the pass rush with, Vic Beasley? It's not like there were some, I think, big expectations for him coming in anyway. I mean, we had heard from people in Atlanta. He had 8 sacks last year. A lot of them came in garbage time, a lot of them in meaningless snaps. But you're feeling, I guess, if you're Vrabel, you come in, you work with that, you get him close back to 2016 form. But it's not like a lot of Titans fans, I think, had high hopes for Vic Beasley coming in here anyway.
No, I think it was basically like, okay, well, if he can duplicate 8 sacks, that's an expensive piece. But, okay, if he's a DPR, if he's a guy who comes on in the sub package and he can give you a few sacks and some decent pressure, then, hey, that's fine. I mean, there's some value. You overpaid, but that's what happens on the market. Open market, a lot of times you overpay. But right when that move was made, again, like Teron Davenport, TD, I remember he wrote this, talked about this. He was very surprised based on things he had been hearing about the evaluation of Beasley. There were indications, that was not an interest.
Right.
And all of a sudden they sign him. So – at the time, I'm trying to think of who else they could have taken that money and given it to.
I mean, the options weren't great. I mean,
they weren't great.
You had Everson Griffin out there.
But what you do is you draft a pass rusher or two.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of this, too, is that the draft, I mean, like Darrington Evans may end up being great. Isaiah Wilson may end up being great. But, like, if you were going to draft Terrell Lewis in the third round, which he has sort of made, he has indicated that, and then it's the best available philosophy of, well, we like Evans is higher on the board than the next pass rusher. I get that philosophy, and I think a lot of teams believe in it and probably aren't going to change from it. But in this case, if that's what it was, it bit you. And the fact that you went through the whole draft without drafting a pass rusher, to have a young pass rusher right now would be awfully handy.
Yeah.
DeAndre Walker is a guy they drafted last year. Didn't work out. I mean, apparently a bad evaluation, or he can't get away from injuries, but he's out there.
Yeah. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, don't forget to mention with John Robinson that, again, we fail with fifth-year options as well. Not picking up Corey Davis,
no.
And he's been great.
No.
And picking up Adoree, and he's been MIA.
You don't pick up Corey Davis's fifth-year option, the number 5 pick? No.
No.
Stop it.
That way too
never,
much money
ever,
for Corey Davis.
Ever. Now, in fact, we're going to talk about this later on the show. I think Corey Davis is a guy who warrants a look for a reasonable deal, but you do not pick up the fifth-year option of the number 5 pick who is doing what he's doing. And I disagree on Adoree, too. Adoree Jackson is a good player.
Yeah.
He's a 19th pick. I think that was – so I – who was that?
No name.
No name, you're wrong. Give us your name so I can shame you by name, with your middle name preferably.
By the way, you went after somebody on Twitter last night.
Oh, yeah. Actually, It's somebody apparently you fought with before. Huh?
Many times.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with the name, but, yeah, apparently – yeah, this is what I was talking about earlier, the Bo Brinkley thing. Apparently Bo Brinkley is, like, the worst long snapper ever, according to Twitter genius here. So
I think it was Alex on Twitter.
Alex.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, man.
Appreciate your evaluation of long snappers.
Tough guy Alex on Twitter. Bo Brinkley is the worst long snapper in history.
When we come back, should the Titans have made another move yesterday before the trading deadline to help shore up this defense? We'll debate that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times. It's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more so for our children and teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This six-week campaign launched on Monday, October 19th, and will run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking about the moves the Titans made yesterday, releasing Vic Beasley, Bo Brinkley, and Jonathan Joseph. Let's go to our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, CD text in, says, my granddad played outside linebacker in high school. He's 76, since we're talking about all these old guys. I guess making a reference there to Clay Matthews and Cameron Wake.
Hey!
Wants his grandfather to join the fold.
What's
on
his,
the pass rush.
What's his shuttle time? You know, that's, you got to give us some more information.
Yeah, we need some measurables.
So I love the old guys joke. Clay Matthews is just way younger than I realized. I think
you?
That's the most shocking piece of information the entire week.
Is it?
In the entire world.
Yeah, probably so. Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews' age.
Being 34. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, let's just stay away from Clemson pass rushers. You mentioned John Robinson maybe having a problem identifying some pass rush, particularly from Clemson. That just hadn't worked out.
Yeah.
With Vic Beasley, Kevin Dodd, not great.
I tweeted about the Clemson pass rusher thing last night, but I was going to tweet, like, even if Trevor Lawrence says, I will only enter the draft if someone trades me to the Tennessee Titans, I would say, do not accept him. Do not take any Clemson players. However, that's faulty. That's why I didn't tweet it, because Adam Humphries is a Clemson Tiger, and he's pretty good, so.
But it's not all Clemson, maybe just defensive players.
But this is a trend, yes, with Clemson pass rushers. Don't ever take them again. They're not going to churn out that many good players anyway.
No, it's
so
just Clemson.
Just ignore Clemson from now on.
The thing is with Kevin Dodd is that they find themselves in this position because of that draft pick.
That's a good point.
They are chasing pass rushers because Kevin Dodd was a dud.
Yeah.
Dodd was a dud.
Kevin Dodd. Yes. No, that's a good point, Ryan. I mean, they had at the time, they had Brian Arakpo, they had Derek Morgan. They said, "Who got to go high in this draft to get the next guy." And of course, they got Landry, and Landry is going to be fine. I don't know if Landry is going to be second round pick fine, but he's a good football player.
Yeah,
you know he is. He can play. He can play the position now. At times in the run game, he's not great either, but he works hard and he'll give you some production. And so I can't say that's a terrible evaluation or pick, but that's their best one.
Right.
So that's the problem.
Let's go to our poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Today's question is, are you disappointed that the Titans didn't make another trade before yesterday's deadline? We talked about it yesterday, Desmond King coming in, playing the nickel position. Would the Titans make another trade, another move before the deadline yesterday? They did not. Wasn't a very active deadline day yesterday around the league. Are you disappointed? So far, the options are this. Yes, they needed more. No moves were out there that were worth making, or no, they're good enough already. Between those three options, right now, 42% of people have voted no moves were worth making. That's the leader in the clubhouse. 39% say yes, they needed to do more. And 19% say no, they are good enough right now. 130 votes so far. And we just put up the poll, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's some level-headed responses. I mean, look, off the cuff, I would say, man, you needed to try to do something. And I have no doubt that John Robinson did try. you know, what we don't know is what was being asked for who and all that stuff. I think Charles Robinson hit on something important yesterday with the Houston Texans, the fact that they don't have a GM, and they really probably needed to do some stuff to get some draft capital and just change things up, and they didn't. They're all still there. So that's one of those places that that's one of those situations that might have been different.
I had a trade on the table that fell through, that's for sure. Will Fuller.
And right, and there you go, your Packers.
Green Bay Packers.
I enjoyed your very angry Packers fan tweet about that. That was good. Like Aaron Rodgers looking at, like, must have been after a pick or something, looking at the board and, like, disgust throws it down.
It's just amazing. They're going to let him go through his entire career and win one Super Bowl with that talent.
So the
just very fun.
And the reporting on that I saw was basically what that – they were there. They were close, right?
Yeah.
But it was a matter of some in the organization saying no. It's like, who in that organization's like,
I don't know.
Got a lot of years with Aaron Rodgers. Let's ride this out, guys.
Now, apparently Houston was asking for a second round pick for Will Fuller, which I get it. That's a lot. Will Fuller's hamstring. It's just as likely to tear on the flight to Green Bay than it is that you get any sort of production out of him. So I get that.
Right.
But some point, you got to make a move.
It's also a go for it year, especially in that conference.
Yeah,
you know. So look, I'm big on the go for it. You know, it's never my money. So, but I also Floyd did a good job yesterday of breaking down, you know, the reasons for not doing it and the reasons for with the cap. You're trying to roll over as much as you can possibly roll over in a year that's not going to be good for the cap and all that stuff. And look at all the different people that you have to sign. Some people you're going to lose. Some people you want to re-sign. You know, you have to still keep all that stuff in mind for John Robinson. The problem is you're talking about that stuff now after you just plowed $22.5 million into going for it, and now you've just lit nine of that on fire.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kinston text in, no, I'm not, because we need draft capital. We got a lot of expensive guys on high-dollar contracts. We will need cheap young prospects to come in and play well. So Kinston, well, happy they didn't make a trade yesterday.
I agree. You got to draft well. And now, but the good thing is, you know, like the Desmond King deal to me is a great deal because it's low risk and you got rid of one of your 3 6-round picks. You know, so you still have 8 picks right now.
Right.
If you could have gotten someone who could have made a difference, and you still have 6 picks in the draft, to me, I think it's worth exploring. I have no doubt it was explored. We don't know exactly what was offered up or what was asked for on that. But we do know that right now they're in a situation of bad defense that seems to be getting worse, pass rush that's non-existent, and undrafted guys that you're hoping to rise up and come in and just magically produce for you. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a risky situation to be in, but I said it yesterday on the show. I don't think a whole lot was out there for John Robinson yesterday to come in and make a huge difference. Like, you could go scoop somebody up off of somebody's practice squad if you want to, and who knows, maybe they do that at some point. But, I mean, I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make in what we're seeing out there on the field right now. And now, you could also make the argument when Vic Beasley was on the roster, go get somebody. What difference can it make? It's not going to be any worse, which I totally understand that argument. But now that he's gone and you've got Roberson, you would assume, coming in to fill that hole, do you feel better about it now from the starting three, from the three outside linebacker spots that you would assume would be active? Do you feel better about it now with Beasley being out of there?
I mean, it can't be worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I've seen
– question is, what happens if one of those guys get hurt?
Well, yeah. it's
same thing
good.
At tackle. Like, what happens if somebody at tackle gets hurt? What do they do? They're one injury away.
They lose a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they're one injury away at tackle for having a real problem. They've already got a problem at pass rush. Just imagine if somebody else goes down. Like Clowney a couple weeks ago. Just imagine if he's down.
Right.
And he's out.
And
what do you do?
Vic Beasley's your 60-snap-a-game starter now.
Yeah.
Doing even less than the nothing he was doing. So the thing is, with offensive tackle, there's still the hope that your first-round pick could be active on a game day. By the way, apparently the CBS listed him as a starter on the broadcast the other day. Gentry S. has tweeted that. He's like, I'm rewatching the game, and here's the – they listed, you know, it's like Isaiah Wilson, right tackle. Really?
I think they missed out on that one.
So there's a little, like, you know, you've got a guy who I think does have talent who you hope as the weeks go on he can get there and give you some depth. Your big hope right now is that what you've done and how things are changing in the back end will significantly change the whole picture. And I have no doubt it'll change it some. I still have big doubts that it'll be what some people think it will be, unless the pass rush changes. But you bring in Adoree Jackson, if Desmond King can come in, Christian Fulton can come back, you look a lot different back there. I mean, we're not going to watch Jonathan Joseph just get picked on. I mean, you know, Joe Burrow is just like, where's 33? 33, where is he? Oh, there we go. Just throw it up. We're not gonna watch that anymore. That's over. How much does that help? I think it'll help some, but I don't think it's this dramatic turnaround for this defense that some people think it'll be.
Rusty on Twitter says they need more, but this is more about their big misses in the offseason with pass rushers. And, Joe, that goes to your point. I mean, at this point, if you're John Robinson and the Titans on defense, you've just got to hope that Clowney reaches a new level that we haven't seen so far from him here in Tennessee. I mean, that's going to largely depend or largely determine, I think, how good this defense ends up being, is if you get some sort of game-breaking action out of him at some point.
Right.
Because right now, there hadn't been much of that.
There hasn't. Again, when he came in, no one said, this guy's getting 12 sacks, everybody. Sack guy, it's not what he is. But, yeah, he's got to be a better all-around player. Some of the, hey, the Pro Football Focus people say he's been playing great. He's winning
all
these.
That's comforting.
Yeah, you know, so for whatever that's worth, they did have Vic Beasley graded correctly.
I'm not sure they did. It could have gone lower.
I mean, in the 30s or whatever. I mean, I will say there's a big gap between those two. But, boy, when you talk about $9.5 million, whatever he was worth, like $100K, and Clowney's certainly not earning $13
million. No.
I don't know what he's making. Maybe is he like a $3 million a year player right now, something like that?
Yeah. Just to, like, from his standpoint, we had Charles Robinson on last week to talk about this. Whatever business decision he was hoping to accomplish, signing this one-year deal and not taking the reported $18 million offer from Cleveland, it's not working out so well for Jadeveon Clowney right now. I don't think he's going to make a whole lot of money this next offseason.
No, I agree. And the funny thing with Cleveland is, had he gone there, because they do have big-time pass rushers,
yeah,
it might have actually been able to keep people thinking, oh, okay, that guy, maybe he is worth that kind of money. He's being exposed.
Just watch them get like 5 sacks on Sunday.
Well, that's what that is kind of what he does. He has these like couple games where, right?
Yeah, he just wrecks it.
The Titans would take it at any point.
When we come back, Vic Beasley finds himself on a very short list of Titans free agent signings, and it's not a list you want to be on. We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This guy is a ghost. So, I mean, obviously there was something else going on. I mean, I don't know what it was, but that's kind of been the story of his year. There's something else going on that we don't know about. And so this is just more of the same in my mind. And I assume they finally got to a point where they were sick of it. Said, that's it.
That was our man Floyd Reese yesterday on Jared and the GM reacting to Vic Beasley being released by the Titans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning. You heard Floyd there call Vic Beasley a ghost. Pretty strong words there from Floyd Reese.
Casper Beasley.
And, you know, fittingly enough, just right after Halloween, the ghost is out the door. Don't have to worry about him anymore.
Yeah, and you didn't have to take him to the McDonald's in Atlanta for hotcakes and
leave him in the parking lot.
Shamrock shake.
Now he can go by on his own.
He's staying.
Yeah, he's not Ubering back.
There's no Uber back.
So, Porth, you have compiled a list that Vic Beasley, I'm sure, is on somewhere in terms of the worst free agent signings in Tennessee Titans history. And, look, there are some doozies on this list. The question is, where does Vic Beasley rank? So, without further ado, Porth, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, here's a list of 6 guys that – just off the top of my head, I didn't go back and look at every single signing in free agent history, but this is off the top of my head of the worst signings in Titans history. Now, the first one on the list counts as the Tennessee Oilers, but Titans fans will remember him as a Titan, kind of. Yancey Thigpen in 98. had three down years with the Oilers and Titans after having a couple good years with the Steelers. So a lot of people will point to Yancey Thigpen as being a free agent bust for the Tennessee Titans. Carl Pickens in 2000 signed a five-year deal, made only 10 catches for 242 yards in nine games, and then see ya.
That's the name that definitely jumped out to me when you threw that poll out.
Which, by the way, I went back and looked on Google. I Googled Carl Pickens Titans signing, and there's a quote from Floyd in that AP report of, we are so proud to sign Carl Pickens and a talented receiver like this. love you, Floyd. David Givens in 2006 also signed a five-year deal. Receiver from the Patriots, had only eight catches and then had a knee injury, and then he sued the Titans for not letting him know the extent of the knee injury. He sued him for $25 million. That was a free agent bust, but his was more injury-related than performance-related.
Right.
Andy LaVitre in 2013. Wow. If a turnstile could poop its pants, that's what LaVitre did every single time out there for the Tennessee Titans. He was awful. Perhaps the worst guard in Titans history not named Chance Warmack.
Wow.
So Andy LaVitre on this list, he signed a six-year deal in 2013. Then LaVitre ended up going to the Falcons and started in a Super Bowl. Deion Lewis in 2018, four-year deal. If he's listening to us right now, he'll probably block all three of us on Twitter.
Too late.
Already blocked.
Already did.
Really?
Yeah.
Two out of three ain't bad. Yep. So maybe he'll block me. But 3.5 yards a carry. He had an awful 2019 season. I wouldn't put him in the category of Beasley, though. Vic Beasley, to me, is the worst signing in Titans history.
The worst one.
The worst signing in Titans history. They got absolutely nothing. Zilch, nada, nothing for $9.5 million. Nothing. Vic Beasley was a complete mess from day one in a Titans uniform. And it took forever to get him in a Titans uniform because of the train wreck that he was in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly – look, I think you can make a great argument that Vic Beasley is the worst one. I would probably lean Carl Pickens. That's just me, based on the expectations that he had coming in here.
And the Vol angle to it and everything.
Like,
right?
I mean, you know, the year before, he had 57 catches. So it went down from 82 to 57, so maybe a bad trend there with the Bengals. But 10 catches with the Titans in 1 year?
Hey, he made
that's
10
still
catches.
More than Vic Beasley did this year,
Vic
though.
Vic Beasley had two tackles in five games.
He did force a fumble.
That's true.
That they didn't recover.
Yes.
You didn't think you were going to be making the case for Vic Beasley today, did you?
No, I didn't.
You know what? Honestly, like, the biggest reason I would argue against it is just because I always have that reflex of, like, oh, it's what just happened, and let's step back.
It was pretty bad.
But I think, actually, Vic Beasley has a real strong case. I went back, so last February at the Combine, I did a thing that's like a million words long on John Robinson, every single move, and I put him in different categories, like, you know, whatever, excellent, good, blah, yeah. You know. So I looked back on that, too, to see if there's anything close to this. I think the worst free agent signing before this for him was, Deion Lewis is strong for sure, and that might be it. But Sylvester Williams, 3 years, $16.5 million in 17. I mean, and really, like, the attempts to add value to the front have really been. But that was that's a pretty decent chunk of money for very little from Sly Williams. I mean, it was apparent. They also, Benny Logan, they had about a $4 million deal. I mean, he just didn't do anything. But still, those obviously don't compare directly to Vic Beasley. And Deion Lewis, the thing is, he at least gave you, like, partially a good year. I mean, sure. Shoot, man, he was beating out there. He was great, like, at Dallas, that Monday night win. Yeah. Deion Lewis, like, Deion Lewis, right? So at least he had... Until Derrick Henry basically realized who he is, and then it was like Deion Lewis is kind of like, I'm just going to go shrink over here and, you know, sit in the corner the rest of my time here. But there was at least something out of that one, you know? Just absolute zero out of this. I mean, zero.
The thing for me on Beasley, though, is the fact that you knew going into the offseason that they needed pass rush help. You knew
right.
it. They got away with zero pass rush all the way up until the second quarter of the AFC Championship game. And then it bit them in the rear in Kansas City, and you knew they needed to address it. And that was the way they addressed it, which was Beasley for $9.5 million. And he did absolutely nothing. Nothing.
It's a bad look for John Robinson. It really. And we spent a lot of time here on the show complimenting John Robinson and the good moves that he's making. This doesn't like turn him into some awful general manager, but it's a bad look for John Robinson. And that happens from time to time if you're a general manager. But it feels like this one really wasn't that hard to predict. I mean, we talked about it. He had some problems in Atlanta. There were reports out of Atlanta that he maybe wasn't even interested in playing football. And then you show up to training camp. He's nowhere to be found. No one can find him for the first couple of days. Eventually shows up, 10 days later? And, I mean, it was a bad look for John Robinson. And quite frankly, one that even at the time he made the signing, you're like, I don't know about this Vic Beasley guy.
Well, and he was available one time. You know, which again, this is very much the COVID reality, but in normal times, he would be in that locker room every day. And you know, but one time we talked to Vic Beasley and he said something about like he was unhappy about something. He sort of made it sound like him not showing up had something to do with being unhappy about something, which I kind of took as, I guess, was he unhappy because they were talking about getting Clowney too? Like, so, well, he was like, no, this is, now give it to me. I want all the snaps. I'm going to come in and dominate.
Or was he unhappy about, Jadeveon the prospect Clowney? Of playing football again? He's like, never want to go play.
Wait, so there's actually, I have to do something for this? Yeah. I don't know. But that was a weird, the whole thing was, and like you said, there were a lot of red flags. There were a lot of people who just questioned whether he wanted to do this anymore. He had the sort of inflated 8-sack number last year, which, again, it's one of those things, like, a lot of Atlanta, people were like, gosh, those were late game, late season. He didn't really make an impact. He's not a guy who can play on first and second down. But, you know, 8 sacks. You're desperate to do something. It's just when you have this kind of an offseason, when you're this close, I guess in a way it sort of illustrates how hard it is to get to that top level.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it's a terrible offseason for John Robinson. There's no other way around it.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, do we have the same trepidation about Desmond King that we did about Beasley, considering the issues they've both had coming from previous teams?
Well, I don't think it's quite the same. Also, you gave up a 6th-round pick for a rental who's going to be off the books this year if you don't want it. I mean, it's a totally different deal. You didn't throw a huge chunk of money at him. I think there's some trepidation. The parallel here is, well, but Vrabel's got a culture and he'll make it all better. I don't know the whole situation. Of course, we know that there was definitely conflict between Desmond King and his coaches, that they tried to replace him. Charles Robinson told us yesterday they wanted to deal him last year. They had some effort things on the field they didn't like. Those are all flags for sure, but it's low risk, and you may end up – I mean, he may end up being your fourth corner this year.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I would probably give him the edge to be the nickel, but if Fulton gets healthy and keeps improving, maybe King just is a depth guy. So that's just not the same kind of risk or dependency on a guy that Beasley was.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texted in, thought Beasley was supposed to get fined like $300,000 per day when he showed up 10 days late. Would have totaled $3+ million. So did Vic even make $9 million? I don't think it was $300,000
a day. No, it wasn't that big. I thought that he got a total fine of $50,000. I'll look that up, but it wasn't as big. He definitely got fined and lost some of that money.
Yes. But he made enough for considering the production that went along with it.
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord. What a fleecing by Vic Beasley. In a way, I kind of respect it.
Like I said, I'm giving the big tip of the cap to Vic, man. You win.
Ski mask all-star.
Ski mask all-star.
That's pretty good.
Have we determined, is Vic Beasley, is he the worst signing ever? Poor says yes.
I'll say yes.
I'll lean no. I still give it to Carl Pickens, but it's close.
I think Carl Pickens is the only one that can be in the conversation with Beasley. Like, the other ones I listed were bad.
Yeah.
But those two are atrocious.
Very bad. I will give the slight lean to Carl Pickens, but it's very close. And the slight lean is because it's a multi-year deal for Carl Pickens.
Okay. Yeah, it's
not
close.
Not just multi-year deal, five-year deal.
Yeah, five-year deal.
That was what year again?
2000.
20 years later. Here we go.
So in 2040, watch out. The Titans are going to make a really bad move.
20 years later, you got a terrible Titans signing and hanging chads.
God, when we come back, we'll dive back into the Vols. If they lose this game against Arkansas on Saturday, what does that mean for the quarterback position moving forward? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.